Today's program is brought to you by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest level of veterinary care to pets throughout the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York, and surrounding areas since its founding in 2008. For more information, visit brooklyncaresvet.com.
I'm Grace Bonney of After the Jump, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, and Jack Inslee's engineering. Our topic today, crystal healing. This is a subject that's more common in Europe and the UK than it is in the States, and Allison Robbins is going to tell us all about it. Allison Robbins is a crystal healer who works with animals and people. Her love of horses began in her early teens as a competitor in the horse show world. She recently returned to the States after living in England for 16 years, where she had a practice in vibrational medicine, trained polo ponies, and also played polo. Her work healing and training horses has taken her to Switzerland, Argentina, and Brazil. Allison currently lives in California. Hey, Allison, are you there?
Hi, Celia. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Really well, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about this today. As you know, there aren't that many people in the States that are that familiar with this modality, so I'm really excited to get started.
Okay.
So, first question, what is crystal healing?
That's a good start, because I listened to the lead-in, and I heard you mention that I had a practice in vibrational medicine, which actually covers a lot of just different modalities of healing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is similar to spiritual healing. It covers shamanism, sound healing, crystal healing, colors. There's a lot of modalities. Crystal healing is very interesting because it uses the natural energies of the earth, that the crystals grow in the earth. And the healer combines the use of crystals with channeling spiritual energy. So it kind of holds a very stable energy when you're working with a client. So the function of the crystal, each one carries its own vibration. And it really, how do I put it? It's kind of like musical notes.
Okay.
Where, you know, there's A, B, C, or what have you. And the crystals kind of carry a frequency of their own, which is like a musical note. And so you want to use crystals in harmony with each other, and then when you work with your client, you assess the energy field of the client, whether it's a person or an animal, and you assess them, and then you think to yourself, okay, well, which crystals or vibrations would be good for helping with this condition?
Mm-hmm.
So you might have two people who have an elbow injury, and the cause for it is not the same on both people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like allopathic medicine where it's like, okay, well, you have this injury, so here's exactly the treatment we're going to take for an elbow injury.
Right.
So it works on the metaphysical causes of disease or dis-ease,
mm-hmm.
Rather than the symptoms.
And so how did you learn how to do this?
Well, I actually went to school for it. There was a place called the Vibrational Healing Foundation is where I trained,
mm-hmm.
and I trained for 2 years.
Wow.
At first, and then I did another year of a postgraduate degree, and then a fourth year, which was teacher training.
Wow.
So a lot of time and effort goes into learning to work with crystals.
I love that because there's some modalities that, you know, you can take a weekend class and they give you a certificate and all of a sudden you're, you know, whatever that may be. But the fact is, I mean, it's the same as the Bach flowers because they're out of the UK too. They don't mess around with their alternative medicine when they're training it. Like, you really have to learn it. And I think that's super, super important, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what I like about it. I mean, I heard you say early on that it was more common in Europe than it is here.
Yeah.
And I have to say, anywhere you go when you're looking for these modalities or when you're in that place, you kind of find them.
Mm-hmm.
California is an unbelievable place for healing. A lot of things are published out of here on spirituality and healing. So I would say it's definitely even more common here.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, there's some amazing spiritual teachers who come out of the U.S.
Yeah.
But what I like about Europe is that they've got a National Health Service.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do if you're qualified, you can be a complementary therapist on the National Health Service.
Wow.
So it means you've trained enough hours and you follow a strict code of conduct that medical doctors are able to refer you to their clients. You know, so they could say, hey, well, you know what, you might want to add this to your treatment.
Right.
And they'll give you a list of people who are registered on the list of complementary therapists, and they can send them to you through that, which I do like the integrative part of that, because it is a complementary thing, whether it's veterinary care or medical care.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a case where it's kind of like, you know, you might go in to treat somebody, but you have to make sure that they've had medical treatment first.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to go, hey, forget it. You know, I know you're on your last step here, but, you know, maybe somebody needs to set that break first before we get working.
Totally. Totally.
You know, you might want an x-ray to know what's happening.
Absolutely. And I think that that's a good point, too, is that, you know, all these modalities are not saying don't go to a regular doctor. You know, it's not a question of, you know, do what was right for you. But, you know, if you think you have a broken, you know, if you have an animal that's got a broken leg or something's really serious going on, get the vet in there as well. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, you can't.
But, you know, there are also very strong legal and ethical issues around that. So in England, again, they've got that. They have a thing where you have to be very careful what you say to people about their animals. You have to make sure that they've checked with a veterinary or surgeon, as they call it over there, it's the same here as a vet.
Yeah.
But you're meant to consult with them. You know, you don't want to leave an animal in pain or suffering to go, well, gee, I think it's this.
Yeah, totally.
You know, legally, we don't have the ability, whether we can see what's happening or not, we don't have the right to diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very much, you have to be very careful of what it is that you're, you know, not crossing boundaries where you shouldn't be.
So have you found it more challenging to find clients in the U.S. than when you were over in Europe?
No, I don't think so. It's a kind of thing where people come along when you're ready for it.
Yep.
So you might have a thing like the cases that come to you are, you know, you'll see even a series of cases that are all similar in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, gee, why do I keep getting people that have insomnia? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen it with box flower or things like that.
Yep.
There's little themes that run through. So when you're in a place where you're ready to give that healing, the clients kind of come to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes, I've worked a little bit less with new people since arriving in the States and just trying to set up a new, you know, home life over here.
Yeah.
But there's also, because I do a lot of distant healing, I'm still able to work with the people the clients have had from other places can still contact me.
So that means that you can do this over the phone?
I can. And I have done a lot of cases. And I've even gotten cases from people by email. I had a friend, I was in England at the time, and I had a friend who was down in Argentina, and she was playing polo and injured herself. And she sent me an email, hey, I'm in a game tomorrow. I got hit by a ball and I'm really sore. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, you know, play the next day. Can you sort me out? And I was kind of able to tap in and send her some healing and then even ask her, you know, personal questions that I picked up in there. And she's like, hey, how'd you know about that? And I was like, well, right. You know, you kind of told me. And it's a weird concept to think that healing can reach somebody over a distance, just the same as if they're in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna give a comparison to being like the internet. How it works, you know, you've got somebody transmitting a signal, or even the radio.
Mm-hmm.
How your voice comes through, like how is your voice in somebody else's home?
Yeah.
Or in the car with someone, it came through the air, through invisible airwaves, you know, radio waves,
mm-hmm.
into your car or your home, and it's replicated there. So I would say it's quite similar to that. So I'm able to kind of tune into the person and hold the spiritual energy for them to, you know, resolve whatever issue they're having.
And so were you always this sensitive, or were you taught how to do, like, really, to really plug in and be in tune in school?
Okay, both of those. You know what? I started out, I mean, from the time I was a young child, I was sensitive, but I wasn't aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more work I do, the more sensitive I become.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of clearing your path of your vibration, you know, to hold those kind of higher currencies for other people. But you also have to learn, one of the most important things I learned in school was, in the first year, protecting your own energies.
Yeah.
You have to learn to manage your space. If you're working for others, you have to make sure you don't take on their stuff and they don't take on your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole first year is mainly geared towards self-healing, raising your vibration, and also really protecting your own boundaries.
Wow, that's hard work.
Yeah, but you know what? When it's a thing you love doing, it's a passion. It's kind of like, you're like, oh, where's more? You know, what more can I get into?
Yep, absolutely. So how long have you been using crystal healing for animals?
Actually, I started using it, I started training for crystal healing in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was training, I started working with polo ponies. And I was actually training polo ponies for someone when I started training my own training for crystal healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was riding up to 8 horses a day.
Wow.
So I had all these horses that I was around. And the man who owned the horses that I was training, he had 30 of them.
Wow.
So for every human case study that I did, I also had horses galore.
You
know, so I did at least 3 horses for every person that I worked on. So it was really fun for me to get to see the themes that ran through the groups of horses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how they responded to the healing and how that went along with the training of the horse, that they were happier in themselves. And, you know, it gave me the chance to see a lot of different behaviors and injuries heal and things like that.
It's amazing. I mean, this is what it is. Like, when you first were doing this and you were getting results, were you just completely blown away at what you were able to accomplish?
Actually, yes. Some of the time, and I'll tell you a couple things like that. Sometimes, yes, I try to detach myself from the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever heard of there's an author called Carolyn Miss,
mm-hmm.
She's a spiritual author and a teacher and a really good lecturer, and she had this teachings for healers.
Uh-huh.
I think it's Essential Guide to Healers or something like that. And in it, she says, don't get attached to the outcome. And that always stuck with me.
Yeah.
You know, when I heard that, I'm like, that's right. You know, because it's not up to me what the individual's process is. I'm holding an energetic space for that person,
mm-hmm.
and I'm carrying the spiritual energy for that person so that their own healing system can kind of kick into place. I'm rebalancing it for them.
Right.
But when you turn up and say there's a horse in front of you that's got a broken leg and it's about to die, you know, you're kind of going, well, okay, I don't know what to do here. I'm going to hold the space. I know I can hold the space for the horse and maybe help its transition.
Right.
And the same is true for human beings. So whether they choose to live or die or their own recovery process, you know, one person... Again, you might get 2 people with exactly the same injury, and one person gets better overnight, and the other person's, you know, it takes them months.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, I try to just go, okay, I've done my thing here, and then I leave it. And I'm always surprised when somebody comes back to me later and said, oh, you can't believe what happened, and this and that.
It's like, yay!
I'm like, oh, that's great, you know?
It's like, I knew that was going to happen, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the really early cases that I had was this horse. There was, in fact, the horse's groom was in front of me, and he was really sad. And I was like, well, you know, what's wrong? Oh, you know, one of his horses is going to be put down tomorrow.
Mm.
Well, I said, what do you mean? And he's like, you know, she's had colic for 10 days. And,
wow.
And, you know, she's been treated by the vet, but the vet says she doesn't get better.
Mm.
You know, she'd been taking antibiotics, which caused her to colic.
Ugh.
So for people don't know that, it's like when the horse is, I mean, in her case, it was constipation.
Yeah.
So stomach problems, which is very serious for a horse.
Yeah.
And so I went to see the horse, and I did a healing on her with crystals. I think it took about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left, and within another hour or two, she had started going to the bathroom all over the place. So
awesome.
her blockage cleared.
Awesome.
And she lived.
Yay.
And the vet was very happy, and the owner was thrilled. The owner was a farrier, and he actually came and found me.
Nice.
To say thank you. And I was just like, wow, cool. You know, like, it just... So in that case, it was very dramatic, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, those are the good ones.
Not for her, but fun. Just kind of like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really glad that helped her.
That's wonderful. So, Allison, we need to take a break. We got to do some station identification, hang out, and we will be back in 1 minute.
Okay.
Thank you.
Animal Instinct is brought to you today by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic. Since 2008, Brooklyn Cares has been providing exceptional veterinary care to pets throughout Brooklyn, New York. Led by doctors Timothy Mann and Stephanie Liff, the practice advocates a gentle, holistic approach to caring for your pet and offers an impressive breadth of basic and advanced healthcare services for your dog or cat. This modern practice, conveniently located in the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, is fully equipped with state-of-the-art equipment to ensure that your pet receives the highest quality care, regardless of whether they're sick or injured, or simply visiting for annual wellness checkup. For more information, visit brooklyncaresvet.com.
And we are back. So we are talking to Allison Robbins, crystal healer, works with animals and people, and this topic is fascinating to me. So Allison, question, when you say crystals, what do you mean?
Okay, crystals, I'm talking about things from the things you wear in jewelry, like amethyst and turquoise,
mm-hmm.
Quartzes. Again, they're rocks that they're known as a specific type of crystal because of their chemical composition. So you have there's a few families, like the quartz family,
mm-hmm.
where you have amethyst and citrine, jaspers are in that, and, you know, you think of those like a beautiful pointed quartz. You see some of the larger ones.
Yep.
Or geodes. In fact, aside from just using very structurized rocks, I'm going to call them, I also use things like that are amorphous, like amber,
mm-hmm.
and obsidian, and sometimes shells like ammonite that are
really?
petrified wood, pearls.
Wow.
And all kinds of gems. So if you think of how long, you know, you see gems in the clothing of priests and things like that,
uh-huh.
you know, throughout time, and amulets and, you know, gemstones have been used for thousands of years, as is crystal healing.
It's amazing. And so where do you get your crystals? Is there a special place, or can you just, like,
I've I've gotten mine from all over the place. In fact, there's a rock in one of my favorite places is a rock and gem show that's in London,
mm-hmm.
at the Kempton Race Park that they have a couple times a year, and that has an amazing selection of crystals from all over the world.
Cool.
And I'm hoping to go to the rock and gem show in Tucson, which is probably the biggest in the world. Tucson, Arizona.
Amazing. Oh my God, that sounds so cool.
You can get them at little shops, like, you know, I mean, I know there's some in New York City. I've been to a crystal shop there if you look up rocks and gems.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be found all over the place. But some of the things that you want to look for is that they're not color-treated or heat-treated.
And how do you know that?
I mean, some of the time you can ask.
Okay.
But if you look at something like a smoky quartz, it might have a very black look to it.
Okay.
So you can't. They're intuitive in that you might walk up and you'll have a whole shop full of crystals, but some will really draw your attention.
Yeah.
And so you kind of drawn to the, like, I have to have this one, and it's probably because it resonates with you, but you see some other things that are kind of artificially colored. They're a little more traumatized looking.
Mm-hmm. Like they're just,
for lack of a better way to say it, but the gemologists. I mean, I've been to a jewelry store, and the gemologist just say, you know, does the stone have that special something? He said, you might have two diamonds that look, exactly, you know, the same carat weight and the rest, but does have that certain something to it, you know, kind of like a shine. That's how the jewelry industry describes it, as I've been told.
I'm not
a jeweler. I just, you know, I'm fascinated by different gems, and so I'm always looking.
Totally. And so let's say you go to the gem show and you buy a bunch of new crystals. Yay. And you're very excited. Now, do you have to treat these before you use them? Like, or how do you maintain them?
Always a good idea. So crystals emit a positive energy. I mean, the healing from crystals comes from their positive energy. But they can also, what happens is they emit the positive energy and then they can take on negative energy. So if you have a room that's just kind of heavy and stale in there, and you could take your bright, shiny crystal and put it in the room, it may pick up energy. So it's carrying, you know, things from around it. You want to cleanse that, especially if it's been at a rock and gem show or other people have been handling them. So there's a lot of ways that you can cleanse them. And the courses are easy because they can go in water. You can put them on, like, a bed of salt. I mean, some people wash them in seawater. Again, you have to be careful of abrasions, but there's other ones that aren't so good in water, like turquoise doesn't like water, malachite. So it's kind of good. You could probably do some research on the Internet as to whether or not a certain type of crystal is good to be washed. A lot of people like to use sage. To cleanse them, or they put them out in the sunlight for a little while. But you need to be careful of certain ones bleaching, like kunzite kind of bleaches out in the sun.
Interesting.
And a lot of people like sage. I know of a crystal shop in California, a really nice crystal shop, and they always sage them. You know, you go to buy it, and I'm thinking, oh, don't worry, I'm going to cleanse it, you know, because I have my own way.
Yeah.
I project healing light on the crystal. And to cleanse it, you know, if I just had it first in my hand, I cleanse it with intention. So the crystal shop there uses sage. They'll pick it up and they put the sage underneath the crystals to cleanse them.
Nice.
There's a huge variety of ways to cleanse your crystals.
And so does crystal size matter?
Celia, don't you know size doesn't matter?
Depends who you ask, I think. But
I couldn't help that. It's my partner's favorite joke. He says it to get me laugh. All of this, size doesn't matter. I'm like, oh, please stop saying that. So just to make me laugh, but in some ways, no, because it carries a specific vibration, like a rose quartz, which is a very loving energy. You know, even if it's very small, brings that loving energy. But if you're healing someone, you know, you don't really want to put a boulder on their forehead. That could be too much.
Good point.
So you might have something, you know, smaller than a golf ball. You know, a lot of tumblestones are. And then gemstones are used in healing, too. So they might be very, very small. But it's to do with the amount of light coming through the stone.
Okay.
And how much it's reflecting, that it's bringing the stronger energy through it. In fact, there's one stone called Jeremovite. And I found it at a rock and gem show. This friend of mine came up to me. She said, here, hold this. And she's another crystal healer who runs a school in England. And she said, here, hold this. And she used to be she used to work for a gem dealer. This teeny tiny little blue stone. Well, it turns out to be one of the 10 rarest in the world.
Oh, wow.
And she puts it in my hand, and I was just like, woo! I mean, it was a serious upper. It's the only way to put it. Just it made me feel like I was flying.
Wow.
Mind you, I did buy some. I was like, I got to have this. This stuff is great. And that was a really tiny stone, and it had more impact on me than a larger stone that might have, you know, had to be held in two hands.
So you don't need, like, you know, a gigantic quartz point to work on an elephant and a teeny tiny one to work on a mouse. You can basically use the same piece to do that.
Yes, you could do.
Okay.
You definitely could do. And what happens, I'm going to liken my energy field to, So the humans have an energy, I mean, humans and all animals have an energy field, mm-hmm. or an aura, which is commonly heard of. And it's got energy centers in it known as chakras, mm-hmm. which people have heard of if they've done yoga or other types of healing.
Yeah.
And what you're trying to do is restore balance to these energy centers that represent different spiritual, emotional, physical aspects of your being. And when I'm doing a healing, I'm asking for the higher good of the person that they receive only that which they can easily cope with mm-hmm. at this point in time. So what happens is the amount of current that they need and they're able to handle comes through me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it feels to me, I perceive it like a tap that's kind of going really, really slow, and I think, oh, geez, is this happening here? It's so gentle. And I think, like, the person's taken so very little. Meanwhile, they've had a huge impact in their life.
Wow.
And there's other times where I'm like, whoa, how much more can you take?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like somebody turned the tap on full and you know, the fire hydrant's open and they're absorbing all this energy. And it you know, may not be any different. Each person gets what they need that's appropriate for them at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, when I'm working with the crystals, I also always have that prayer or intention as part of it, that they receive only that which they can easily cope with at this point in time.
So, like, what happens if you pick the wrong crystal for something?
Well, it's not likely you're going to pick the wrong crystal. They're not like pills. They're not like you know, take erythromycin for this condition and penicillin
right.
for that condition. They're more whole. And sometimes you see in books, so this is really good for knees or mm-hmm. or sore backs. But a healer will use them in a more generalized spiritual way.
Okay.
So you have some types of crystals are grounding crystals. They're mm-hmm. very earthy.
Mm-hmm.
And some are kind of uppers, like high energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you want a combination where you have you're kind of connecting the person to the earth so that the higher energies can come through them.
Mm-hmm.
So I liken it to having lots of different colors on a palette.
Okay.
And a painting in front of you.
Nice.
And if you mix them poorly, you're going to end up with some brown.
Yeah, totally.
Some brownish grayish colors where you're like, I don't know about that. You know, my finger painting's not looking too good here. And if you do it really well, you may have a masterpiece filled with colors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the training comes in.
Big time.
So, you know, if somebody is really drawn to a crystal and it's something they love, it's going to be what they need.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So there isn't exactly a wrong crystal.
But, like, let's say you're working on a horse. And mm-hmm. You're picking the crystals. But this is a crazy question. When you're working with this horse, okay, the energy that the horse is giving off is dictating to you what you should use and pull out of your toolkit. Is that
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. So is there animal communication involved in this as well?
I would say a lot, yes. I mean, certainly for me, I'm tuned in and you're attuned and you are communicating with the higher self of the animal. In fact, when I work with an animal, I have to ask their permission.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had one say no?
Yes.
And then what happens?
I have. They're just like, no, I don't want it. And that is absolutely their fundamental right, and that is the same with any human being.
Yeah.
That's their person and their being in their private space. Like, you know, it's just, like, okay, fine, that's where you are. You don't want any part of this. All right. And so I always ask, you know, would you like healing? Would you like me to help you?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get this feeling back like a yes or a no.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, animal communication is part of it. And as it's going on, you know, you'll be tuned in with the animal and the healing energy. But you'll also get kind of information from the horses on the situation that's involved in their discomfort
mm-hmm.
or their situation.
It's got to be really awkward if you get one that says no and you've got to tell the client, like, sorry, I can't work on your horse today, you know?
Yeah, you know, you get that and you just have to come right out and say, look, I'm really sorry, but you know, and that's true of anybody, whether they've had psychic readings or healing, and or even going to a massage therapist can go, you know what, I'm not the right person for you.
Yeah.
And it is a very professional thing to be able to say, I'm sorry, I can't help with this situation.
Definitely.
And people respect that. It's not a matter of what's wrong. It's just, you know, it hasn't happened often.
Well, that's good.
But it's happened.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I understand it. You know, it's if you have the option, you have to respect the outcome. You know, it's if you're saying yes or no, and they say no, it's like, well, okay, I gave you the choice. So, you know.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'll see you next time. You know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So with your crystal toolkit, for lack of a better word, do you have a favorite crystal? Is there one that you use more than others?
There's a few of them. I really like the calcites a lot because they have a very calming energy. Yeah, very gentle energy, and I really resonate with working with the calcites.
Mm-hmm.
But clear quartz is considered the master healer.
Mhm.
And I really like a puffalite's one of my favorites.
What is that?
A puffalite?
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
It's really beautiful. It comes in a few different colors, and it's a very, I'd say, clearing, high energy clearing crystal.
Cool.
And you could think it was a quartz geode.
Okay.
When you have a look at it. There's a whole mix of different things I would consider in my healing kit.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if I'm going somewhere and I can't bring all of the crystals with me because it would be too much to haul everything I have around,
yeah,
I kind of get a feel for what selection might be good for, you know, the circumstances I'm going into.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is an intuitive thing, you can kind of look forward like, okay, well, what should I bring with me today?
Yeah.
You ask upstairs and kind of, okay, and you bring it. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to use them, but just having in your little repertoire is helpful.
Yeah, it's got to be easier, too, than carrying, you know, a 60-pound suitcase from client to client with every crystal you've ever had. I mean, like...
Absolutely.
It's like, how about this one? No, crap. Okay, how about this one? Well, no, okay.
Well, you should see me traveling. I mean, when I was in Brazil, I decided to go buying some crystals.
Oh, no.
And I was staying out in a ranch in Brazil. And when I was in town, one of the guys said, yeah, they'd take me in there. And they took me to this warehouse. It was unbelievable.
Cool.
That was probably my favorite purchasing location of all time. In Sao Paulo, and
nice.
I had to bring an extra suitcase home. I had to buy this little wheelie bag. Oh, this huge crystal home with me. I had to, like, bubble wrap it and stick it in there because I wasn't going to let this giant thing I just bought go in the belly of the airplane. And then I had to very carefully secure it in the overhead.
Oh, yeah, I did the same thing coming back from Brazil. What's in your bag? Rocks. Okay, that's why it weighs 60 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to make sure the rocks don't fall on somebody. I think that's the important thing.
Oh my God, could you imagine? I'm a crystal healer. Bam! I'm sorry. Well, let me see if I could help you now that I've given you a concussion, you know?
And, you know, the only place where I got stopped with my crystals, this is quite funny, because I'll carry them in a suitcase, whether it's for my own. Sometimes I just like to recharge them in a location, or if I travel with them, I like to bring them with me for my own self-healing and development. So I almost always travel with crystals. But when I landed in Switzerland, I brought more crystals with me than usual because I was working for a horse that was trying to go from being a racehorse, a trotter, to becoming a riding horse.
Oh, wow.
And I'd done some distance work with him, but I wanted to have all those with me.
Yeah. And
I went through the border thing, and they X-rayed my. You know, on the way out.
Oh no!
The only I've been in and out of there for vacations and other reasons, over the years. That is the only time I ever got stopped and inspected in the customs. They're like, "What's in here?
Rocks."
I'm like, "Rocks? Okay, are they for sale?" Well, no. No,
yeah,
no.
Really?
You know, like, here's what I do, and the guy gave me some pretty funny looks.
Not bad.
Okay, go. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the only time ever. Of course, they're looking for gems in Switzerland.
Totally. It's like, no, I swear, it's just quartz. It's not diamonds. Really.
Yeah, it wasn't anything. I mean, there was nothing, you know, there was no legal issue or anything like that. But of course, they know to stop and look for things.
Yeah. And so, like, what happens? I mean, this is, let's be honest here. This is a therapy that's pretty out there, you know, in terms of what people are familiar with and what people know. And so it's really like, it's like the Bach flowers where, it works, it exists, it's there, but it's for people that don't know anything about this, this is pretty intense stuff. So, like, if you have naysayers, do you try to convince them or what do you say to them?
You know what? I've had that. You know what? I don't bother with them at all.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for people's beliefs. So I had one guy, in fact, I told him what I did and he started laughing in my face.
Nice.
I was like, all right, that's fine. He's like, no, tell me what you do. I was like, no, it's not important. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And I don't always tell people what I do. I'm like, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, he then started insisting. He had to know. And I was like, well, look, it's not your belief system. It's not important for you.
Yeah.
I mean, like he had to pick a fight out of it to change my beliefs. I was like, I don't care. I'm like, look, you know, the people who believe in it, they come to me. If not, that God bless.
Yeah.
But I did have another guy, another case where it happened in England. It was a polo player who was young, and he was about to play polo.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on a team with some Brazilian friends that I had. And he was really sick. He had the flu or something.
Mm.
And he had too much of a fever, and he thought, I don't think I can play. And so I said, well, do you want my help? And he's like, well, I said, well, I'm a healer. Do you want me to see if I can give you a little bit of help?
Yeah.
And he started laughing in my face. So I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah, see ya.
And the Brazilian grooms were like, no, seriously, let her help you. like, she can help you. And so he tried it. And then he was able to play his game. He said, I can't believe it.
Nice.
Oh, my God, I don't believe it. It worked. I was able to play my game. I felt great. And then he came to see me as a client later.
Beautiful.
So, you know, sometimes you'd be surprised what happens. So I had more naysayer stuff, you know, when I was earlier in it. Now I just, like I said, I don't even bother telling people what I do.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And, you know, the thing about it is that, yeah, when you're working with people, you know, the power of suggestion is very, very strong. And so, you know, people get into the whole placebo thing and, you know, well, you said that, so that's why it happened. And, you know, it doesn't exist, isn't true. But, you know, if this is actually working on animals, animals don't recognize placebo. So, like, it's not like, okay, Sparky, you know, I'm going to touch you with this and you're going to miraculously not be lame any longer. Like, you can say this, the horse is going to be like, you know, whatever, feed me. And then they're okay, you know? So, it's not like, you know, there's this agenda that animals have in order for these modalities to work. You know, you can't convince them to do, I mean, it's like if you can heal a cat that can't be convinced of anything, stuff works. You know, if you can heal horses, if you can heal dogs or whatever it may be, or any beings at all, the stuff works. And that's the thing that is so mind-blowing and so amazing at the fact that, you know, nowadays, with medicine getting more and more intense, a lot of people are looking to simplify and are looking at things like crystals or homeopathy or flower essences or energy work. And it's really, really cool because it's, you know, another tool in the box.
Absolutely. And I love working with other people and even other animal healers, although I don't know of any others that specialize in crystal healing for horses, but I do know a lot of other crystal healers just from my training, and I do know of other horse healers.
Nice.
That are, you know, fantastically talented people.
Yeah.
You know, so I like working with and homeopaths, and, you know, it's nice to get ideas from other professionals.
Mm-hmm.
People who share an interest and say, hey, have you thought about that?
Yeah.
You know? And that's invaluable to have other people in the same industry, for lack of a better word.
Totally. And I mean, we all need to stick together. You know, it's like we all need to stick together and it all helps. And so it's very important. I mean, when I'm doing Bach flowers, if someone's doing a therapy, you know, like Reiki or something like that, you know, to be able to speak to them and actually create a symbiotic program is the best thing you can do. You know, there's no competition. It's just tools. That's all it is, you know.
It really is. You know, one of the other cases that I had, that I enjoyed was one of my own horse when I started out from, you know, another really old case. But he had an accident. And he actually fell off a bridge.
Oh, God.
Cut his leg. He lacerated his leg, and he had a sacroiliac joint problem.
Ooh.
Or injury. So, you know, I got him back in the stable, and the vet took care of him and sewed up his leg, and then I had a physio come out and work on him a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But I could feel the electrodes. I don't know if you've ever had ultrasound healing, where they stick electrical.
Oh, like the shocking thing? Like
yeah, electrical impulses into the body, into the muscles.
Yeah.
And she put those on him, and I couldn't stand. I could feel through the horse.
Wow.
The electrical impulses he was getting.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, I hate this.
Yeah, turn it off.
He had two sessions with her, but he also had healing from me during that time. The vet said, you know, it's going to be critical to see how he does in the next 10 days.
Yeah.
And okay, he gets cleared by the vet. So that went, and then I started riding him. It was probably, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before I was riding him again. And then he was back up. He was 3 and a half at the time.
Wow.
Or four. And I was riding him again. Then I was playing polo on him. And a couple years later, the same physio had come out to the yard, and it was a woman. And she said, I remember this horse.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going, well, yeah, he's playing polo. He's doing great.
Yeah.
And she said, I am so glad to hear that. I thought that horse was going to be a total write-off, and I thought it was really sad because he was so young.
Wow.
And so that, again, sometimes a few years later, like, really? Thankfully, she didn't say that to me.
Yeah,
you know
big
what I mean?
Time.
She had the wisdom to not say anything stupid like that.
Totally.
You know, so that the whole process was able to, you know, resolve itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a nice justification for her work, but
yeah,
and my own, and having it turn out so well, but combining therapies.
It's a powerful thing, man. It really, really is. I want to reiterate, we're running out of time a little bit here, but I really want to reiterate about, you know, what energy workers, when we talked about it a little bit in the beginning of the interview, about the fact that, you know, basically what you guys are working for is the greatest good. So the greatest good and an outcome may not be what someone is expecting. And so just I'd like to talk about that a little bit about, you know, that healing isn't necessarily the outcome that is going to be the best for that animal, so to speak.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So sometimes animals, you know, how do you put it? My partner says, you know, if you have livestock, you have dead stock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which sounds a bit callous, but animals do die sometimes.
Yeah.
And if a horse breaks its leg, that's the end in most cases, not always.
Yeah.
But if it's a severe break, that there are things that an animal can't continue living with.
Mm-hmm.
Or even people, you know, who are in end stages of cancer,
mm-hmm.
or who've had brain injuries, accidents where they may or may not come out, and it's absolutely not my place to assume what the outcome should be for them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a case of you're giving them healing so you can release them from attachments from this life.
Yep, so they can go more easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, that's not, you know, any kind of intentional doing on my part other than holding a spiritual space to promote their own journey.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what I wanted to get across is that, you know, what the outcome may be, in the short-sightedness, you may not understand it. It may be exactly what you want, but, you know, there's a lot more going on than just what we see. So, you know, when working with healers, you know, in many cases, you do get healed. In other cases, they are healed, but not in the way that you would expect. And so this is why, you know, leaving your ego at the door is so unbelievably important. Because like you said, you're doing the work. The outcome isn't up to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, I mean, a lot of it, and I think, again, with the training and things I've heard, it's just another, I would consider it another kind of calling.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can do self-healing work, I could train for this kind of work. Some people it's a little more natural for. It's more like you're designed for it. So some people are runners, and some people, you know, are, become medical doctors or accountants.
Yep.
And every profession, we'll call it, has its own importance and validity.
Absolutely.
And this, you're just the same. It's the same as any other, you know, person. It's just your calling to do something is to hold a space, and thinking, you know, thinking you have any control of an outcome is silly.
Totally.
For lack of a better word.
Well, sadly, that's a perfect ending for this show. Sadly, we are out of time. Allison, thank you so much for talking to us. I could talk to you for 3 hours. This fascinates me. If anyone wants to try to contact you or has questions for you, are you willing to share your email?
Absolutely, yes. It's Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, at ehservice.net. And that's sure for Equestrian Healing Service.
Perfect. And if I get any questions on the website, I will forward them to you. This was amazing. Thank you so much. And
thank you, Sheila. You have a nice day.
You too. Take care.
Okay.
Next week, we're going to have Karen Kruger, animal communicator, to finish off the season. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.